Hey y'all, so today I'd like to tell you the story of a software project I was on where I think I got myself in a little bit of trouble for trying to do too much at one time, but I actually introduced a practice onto a team that really did help them for a while until I found out that I hadn't really done a good enough job making sure that what I put in place kept going after I left. So there was a healthcare company here in Austin that came to the consulting firm I was working for, and they had had a prior company out of another country try to build them some business intelligence dashboards. These were basically screens that the executives at this healthcare company would use to look at data about, you know, how their whole healthcare operations were going and make business decisions. So think of all kinds of data from a whole bunch of different products across their whole network of hospitals and everything that they managed. And they had spent a lot of money and over a year of development with this prior vendor and gotten essentially nothing. So they came to our firm and were like, can you please help us get these business intelligence dashboards done? Now, this was my first data warehousing project, my first business intelligence project. So I knew almost nothing going into it about anything more than just how to use a relational database. I didn't know anything about staging or transforming data or ETL or anything about dimensional modeling, but I don't want to get too geeky here. This was the first project where I had a lead on the project who had just joined our company recently, and he was super experienced, really great guy. He already had done a lot of data warehousing and business intelligence work. And so when we kicked off this project, I knew I wasn't going to be the lead on the project, but I had just rolled off of some other projects where I started doing continuous delivery. I've talked about that in a lot of my other videos, but at this time, this was about 5 or 6 years ago. This was before, you know, Puppet or Chef or Ansible or Terraform or, you know, the stuff that's up in Azure and AWS, the deployment pipelines, you know, Jenkins. A lot of those tools were not really ready yet to do continuous delivery. And so I had built this little PowerShell framework that I was using, and I had kind of documented, and I have had a website that I talked about how it worked, and I was using it at various clients, and these were mostly clients where I was building web applications or, you know, systems where there were a whole bunch of backend, let's say, services. So when I joined this project, I really wanted to use that same PowerShell framework, because as I was talking to the lead on this project, I was finding out the way that he and others would typically deploy the business intelligence solution required them to point and click deploy a whole bunch of tools that were part of Visual Studio and SQL Server and all these other tools to kind of get all their assets out into an environment to test. And we had 9 people on this project. So 9 people that were all writing data transformations and calculations and all these geeky things to build these dashboards. And our client understandably wanted to see progress as early in the project as possible because they had been burned by this prior vendor. So I was trying to convince the lead on this project, hey, let's use this continuous delivery technology I've used before to deploy all these business intelligence things into, you know, dev, test, and production. And at first he gave me a lot of resistance, and, you know, he was meeting with some other people, and again, he was very experienced. I'm still friends with him to this day. He's a great guy, but he just, I don't think, had tried to do like an agile or a continuous delivery, like an emergent type of data warehousing solution. So as time went on, I started to get us closer to, you know, first we got a dev environment working, and then we, you know, people were doing builds for a while, like every day, and we started getting to test and UAT. So at that point though, we started to think, well, how can we make this even quicker so that we can actually start to get them some value? And so what we decided to do was we got the whole production environment completely set up, you know, the right security, the right load balancing, and the performance was all appropriate for the scale of users that we thought were going to hit the system, you know, as it grew and everything. And so we started doing automated releases into our dev environment, where then a QA person on my team could, you know, have us request to promote it to the QA environment. And then when that was good, it could go into UAT, and then it could go into production. So it was the same type of thing you've probably used on web apps, but it was really cool because we were doing this on a business intelligence solution. And those builds, I'm not kidding you, would take like 5 hours, because it wasn't just like compiling a web app and deploying a few services. This was actually building a whole new schema with gigs and gigs and gigs of data from this company and then transforming it and using it. So eventually we got our first production release out, and it was very stripped down, and it only had a few of the metrics that the company really needed to manage their healthcare operations, but the numbers were right and the data was correct, and it was their actual production data, and their business could start to look at it. And really we produced I wouldn't call it an MVP. It wasn't really viable yet, but it was at least, it was something that their company could start to use. And I'll tell you, tell you, they were so thrilled with us once that happened. I mean, we gained a ton of confidence from them. They respected us a lot. But what ended up happening, which was really kind of a bummer, is, you know, I got pulled off that project by my company to go help another project start. And very shortly, you know, probably within a few months of me rolling off this data warehousing project for this healthcare company, the people who were on the team started doing manual deployments again, and they stopped using my automation. And I think the reason why was they didn't understand well enough when it was okay, like, to put a build into test, and when it was okay to put one in QA, and kind of how to plug their stuff, their new things they were creating every day, into this deployment pipeline technology I'd built. So even though I had a website that talked about how it worked, and even though I was on the project, and even though I had kind of shown other developers on my team how to use this technology, as soon as I left, people stopped using it. And I thought, you know, what I really learned from this, because this then happened to me on a couple other projects until Microsoft bought a company and started offering some deployment pipeline stuff, and I just started to use that because it was fully supported. But anytime we're going to introduce a big change to the way people work, I mean, this wasn't just like a third-party library, right? This was the whole way the team worked. The whole release process was now going to be automated and iterative, instead of, you know, your typical, the team builds everything in dev and it takes them like 9 months or 10 months and then they promote it to, you know, UAT, and it goes through this huge long, you know, months and months and months where people are testing it, and finally goes into production. You know, we couldn't afford that. But to really release parts of the product at a time, and this wasn't really agile in that we were changing the upfront design, but this was more we just wanted to get them value and release things every day. It took a lot of faith on the client's part to let us release into their production environment. But I think once they saw that it was possible, they were so thrilled with it. Really, the main thing that I just want to encourage you with through this story is that I think it's good to introduce new technology or new processes or new things that are going to help us work together better. But I think as developers, and I certainly fall victim to this, I think we just have to think sometimes a little bit more about how can we make sure that if we put a process in place or we put a pattern in place, that it keeps being followed long after we leave. And sometimes I think the work that's necessary to really make that happen is actually a lot more than I or anybody else really realizes. So I hope that helped today. And if you're new to my YouTube channel, you can always consider subscribing. I make new videos every Tuesday and Friday. I try to do like tips videos on Tuesday and stories from my career on Fridays. But you can also listen to these videos anytime on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play. Just search for Healthy Software Developer and you'll find me there. So until next time, thanks.